I'm Cricket Fox. This is Cricket's Coffee. Let's get started. Good morning. I'm Cricket Fox. This is Cricket's Coffee. Let's get started. Happy weekend here in Australia. It's Monday, October 2nd, as I'm recording this. We've had a time change over the weekend, so we have sprung forward. It's also Labor Day here, so it's pretty quiet today. So I'm happy to get a little bit of work done. On the book, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the book. I originally had it as My Life as a Bridgeport Wife, I think is what I called it. And I had it under a ghost name or a writer name, and didn't go anywhere, didn't anything. So I decided to pull it off, fluff it up a little bit, and finish it in a way. And that's why also the name change, you'll see it's gone to Protecting Bridgeport Secrets. And so I had had a request for me to finish reading the book. So that's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to do chapters 6 and 7 with you today. So let's get started. Chapter 6 is getting ready for the season. Waking up in the hotel in Chicago, all I could do was think about one thing, Scott. This beautiful soul had drifted into my life, helping me to see things could really be okay, and I'd fallen for him. I was starting to discover that there are good people in the world, having started to really trust Scott. The sad part was I had to leave Scott in Albuquerque to protect him. Who knew that I would need him in the future? The one thought that kept running through my head was, if I had stayed, would that have destroyed everything? Parentheses. What I didn't know was that he understood more than I ever realized. Scott would always be part of my life as I would be a part of his. Right now, it wasn't our time, but maybe one day. The main thing now was finding a permanent place to live. I had an appointment with a real estate agent to look at a couple of places in Bridgeport. I was going to do the one thing I never thought of, pay cash for my first home. I earned it. Maddie thought, not how I would have liked, but I had the money, so why not? The first thing in my new acquired brownstone was amazing. I did manage to get the important things, a bed, a television, a fridge, and a coffee pot. There was a big kitchen. Just off that is the deck and plenty of room for a grill and a table to have friends over. Had space for an office downstairs and the master bedroom. There was an upstairs, and I thought of setting up a home theater up there along with a couple of bedrooms. My thoughts wandered to Quinn as I unwrapped the sheets to make my bed, hoping she was okay. How was she doing after discovering I was gone? We had partied tough and consumed an even larger amount of alcohol. It took me a few days to finally get rid of that hangover I had. I swear I'll never have another one like that. I was looking at the pictures on my phone and found one of Scott. He must have taken it before I left because I don't remember it. I will always remember the great times we had and how much he helped me put my life back together. Will always have a soft spot in my heart for Scott. I loved the neighborhood. It was safe and mostly Italian and Irish. Should make for some great shopping and hoping some local neighborhood parties. When I first moved in, I could barely see something over the block next to me. I soon discovered on my daily run it was the cell. I was over the moon to discover that I could walk to games anytime I wanted. As the alarm buzzed, it was time to wake up. I hated that sound. It was so annoying, but I woke up. It was still dark when I woke up, but I usually was awake around this time anyway. Well, the time was LA time, but I was adjusting. After having a good stretch, I headed for the kitchen and the coffee pot. I don't do anything before coffee. I threw some whole wheat toast in the toaster and wished the coffee would hurry up. Money is not an issue. I managed to save a lot and had a couple of investments that paid out well. I packed what I could in the car, but you try bringing your future home in a Holden. Sorry about that. Needed a drink. I had been waking up early to take the red line to meet Carmen and see how her weekend was. It was nice to meet someone who knew a lot about the boys. Carmen was teaching me Spanish, and I was helping her more with her English. Carmen shared with me her story about leaving Cuba, and it was gut-wrenching and scary, but also amazing. I barely made it to the train station as Carmen was there to meet me for a change. She took the day off to go shopping with me. Carmen asked me, "Where are you living right now?" she wondered as I looked at the bus trains. "Bridgeport," I replied, stopping dead in her tracks. "You know what you want, don't you?" "Well, I've always been very determined, and yes, I know what I want, to have some fun and perv on some pitchers' butts." After some giggles, we talked about what I still needed for my new home, along with some of the other places to go shopping. We chatted on the train ride about everything. Great places to shop, which were restaurants and the best, and the two most important words, Portillo's and chocolate. That was the one experience I could not wait to have. Public transport was a great way to see Chicago and what it had to offer. I'd been reading about the Navy Pier and wanted to have a visit soon to see what was there. Walking to the cell from the station, I got lost in the history of what Carmen was sharing with me, talking about the recent World Series win and all. We entered by way of security. Carmen had to sign me in as a visitor. I was in awe of this place. I could not wait for the season to start. Carmen took me all over. It was amazing to see the incredible place. We took a walk around to see the Ring of Honor and talked about those special players. The boys came out onto the field for some practice, and that was the first time I saw Jake. He headed to the mound for some practice throws. Carmen was talking about something, and I never heard what she said. "What? Sorry, what did you say?" Carmen just laughed and said, "Something or a certain someone has caught your eye." All I could do was stare at the mound and ask, "Who's that to the left of Jose?" "That's Jake," she replied. "He is a member of our starting rotation." All I could do was just stare. I know it was rude, but he was amazing. Tall and thin, but from the sounds of the pop in the catcher's mitt, he was throwing hard. Carmen had to shake me back to reality. "Earth to Madison? Huh? What? Oh, sorry, I got lost there." Carmen just looked at me with that look of, "You just felt hard for him." "Don't look at me like that. I was embarrassed enough." Carmen just looked at me straight in the face and said, "You are going to marry him before this season is over." "Are you nuts? I don't even have the nerve to speak to the man, let alone marry him." Carmen stated, pointing out some of the other players and all, giving me a quick background on each. It was an amazing afternoon, just relaxing and watching the boys. I kept studying Jake and what he did, how he threw. I'd always been fascinated by pitchers and the mechanics of it all, but today I got a first hard look and I was even more interested. As practice was wrapping up, I thanked Carmen for the wonderful afternoon, not noticing that Carmen was talking to Jose and the rest of the players that left. I just stood there watching Jake. As he was heading to the dugout, he looked over and I gave him one of those hey kind of waves. Damn awkward, but he smiled back and waved the same awkward wave. I guess it was a good sign. We both smiled and he disappeared to the locker room, I guess. As I wandered around the stadium, I stumbled across the ticket office as they were open. I stopped in to ask about general stuff, see if a certain seat was available when Jake pitched. They didn't have the rotation information, but suggested I might want to buy a series at a time. That way I would have my seat no matter what or who was on the mound. I know I left Carmen in conversation with Jose, but it was beyond my Spanish abilities, and I wanted to head for home while it was still light and I could find my way. I got home and decided to download the photos I had taken during the trip into the city and at the cell that I needed to show Carmen. I hope she'll like them. The ones of Jake appeared on my screen and I was smitten, but I figured he had someone already or a different someone every night. Still, though, it was Jake who I was going to support as my favorite player this year. I got the media guide out of my backpack, went over and over some tuna and pasta for dinner, read up on the journey I was about to take. With the television on for noise, I finished the editing of the photos from today and put a couple on my Instagram. The season started in a few days and I was excited. Something new and positive to take my mind off all the malicious events I'd left in San Francisco. Still, though, no word from Quinn. Maybe this is good news. I was letting myself think that maybe the demons were finally gone, that I could or was free and could have a so-called normal life. I set the alarm so I could get an early run-in, time to put myself first for a while. I thought I'd heard a message tone on my phone go off when I was brushing my teeth. Getting into bed, I had a look, and it was from Scott, a simple message, missing you. I sent the same message back. When I get to feeling down or alone, I look at the picture he left me. I had no clue things he taught me I would put to good use in time, but I learned to trust him, and now I had to trust myself. I can't wait to watch Jake pitch. Life is good. Maybe I'm finally free of the things in the rearview mirror. Only time will tell on that one. Well, sorry, that was kind of rough reading. I'm still not quite used to doing it yet. Bear with me here while I get a drink. But let's see where Madison goes. This is chapter 7. Jake, the man of my dreams. It was a home game, so I left a little early tonight to enjoy my walk, and who knew that tonight would change my life in so many ways. One great advantage of living so close to the ballpark, leaving my car at home and walking. I grabbed an extra blanket as the nights were still cool, and living in shorts, I felt the cold air. I double-checked that I had everything as I walked out the door and locked it behind me. It was only a 15-minute walk, which was okay. Good exercise. I threw on the iPod for some upbeat tunes, so off I went. I usually try to arrive at this out just before they open the gates. No matter what park you go to, you know the special smells for that park when they're getting set up for the game. The smells are amazing, and the brats with grilled onions and green peppers is to die for. It was an evening game, and I was ravenous. An all-day shopping trip takes a lot out of a girl. I had to stop in the bullpen bar for the chicken sandwich. You know you're a regular when you can walk by and you're almost always greeted by those setting up for the game. I enjoyed watching batting practice, and especially on days Jake was pitching, trying to get what had become my usual seat, just to the right of the dugout with a full view of the mound. I usually picked up my next ticket series when I arrived at the park. First stop, ticket office for next series, second stop, food. I got to thinking silly at that, wondering if seeing someone familiar face would help him at all. Always wondered if Jake was superstitious in his preparation for the game. He almost always acknowledged me, and that made me feel good. I didn't have the nerve to say hi, but I would always give a little wave when he saw me. It was awkward, but it worked. Maybe one day I would finally get to meet him when he was not in the pitcher's zone. I always wondered about Jake's game day routine. Here, secretly hoping it might include me. Surveying the outfield, I noticed that a couple of the boys were moving a little on the ginger side, and I could find Doc Jane and ask her what was going on. Doc knows her stuff. She's a doctor of sports medicine on staff at Rush Medical. She has the most beautiful smile that lights up anywhere. She has. Doc J, as I heard some of the boys call her, always explained things in such a way that if you were not medically trained, she helped you know exactly what was going on. I had some medical knowledge, but Doc was amazing. Being in Chicago just a few months, we chatted about where I should go for a good doctor. I needed more help than I wanted to let on, and would make an appointment to talk with her more. One of the scars on my back was bothering me, and I wanted to get it checked. As much as I had hung out with Doc in the field, I knew she really liked Jake and when he was on the mound. "You have that look about you," she said one day. "What do you mean?" I replied, trying not to smile at the comment I knew was true. "It's about time you two meet in person the way you keep looking at each other." I guess it really shows bad, and that's a good thing, I ask her. Jake walked over, greeting the good doc with a handshake. Hey, doc, how the heck are you? Evening, Jake, she replied. This is Madison Robertson. Hey, Madison, how are you doing? This is from Jake's perspective. I looked Madison square in the eyes and shook hands with her. She gave me a good firm handshake. Not used to that from a female. She was not like the other girls I'd seen around the park or even gone out with. She was smart, curvy, and happy with who she was. The one thing I liked about her was how laid back she was. Madison was always there from the start of the season, and it was nice to see a familiar face. I was missing that stability in my life. For some reason, Maddie gave that to me. I remember to breathe at times I was in the office. She must have had a great photo collection of me. Almost feel like I have a friendly stalker. I need to ask her one day if I can see some of the shots of the game. When Doc introduced us, I knew right then I wanted a relationship, maybe even more. I know I can be difficult at the best of times, but maybe I found what I was missing. I could feel the heat in my cheeks as I greeted the man who I fell in love with. Back to Maddie's point of view. I'm glad I thought that and didn't make a fool of myself blurting that one out. I loved watching him, doing everything I could to give him my support as he was on the mount, the office, as I called it. The last thing I remember was Doc's pager going off as I was unwrapping Jake's jersey I bought at Grandstand Sox Sports Apparel. He was amazing, but getting to talk to him was even better. He autographed it as we chatted about this and that, nothing special, but kept it to game day stuff. I wanted him to do well today and not to cause him any issues with his game day routine. While I was holding the railing, Jake reached up, putting his hand on mine as we chatted. My hands were so small compared to his. I have to go so I can finish getting ready. I don't want you to leave. He was still wearing his warm-up stuff, needing to change. Pitchers chose the uniform of the day. Jake mentioned in passing he had chosen the white pinstripe for the day. I played with his hair, reassuring him I was not going anywhere, no matter what the result. Jake pitched a complete game, which was rare for any pitcher, but Jake had never done it. He found his stuff, making for an incredible night. As I was packing up my stuff after the game, Jake came out of the dugout and asked, "Hey, Madison, what's up for the rest of the night?" "Just walking home. Why? How about a late dinner if you're not busy?" My thought, how could I be busy? All I have is a 15-minute walk back home to an empty brownstone. "Sure, why not?" I replied with a smile. "Hey, Jake, where should I wait for you?" I just took a curveball. I had no clue I was in the batter's box. Jake took the count to one strike and no balls. Jake's thoughts. Madison had no clue how much she had helped me already and decided walking off the mound after the game I wanted more. There was no way in hell she was going anywhere. I needed to do whatever it took to make sure she stayed in my life. I know it was a foul ball to left field, leaving her with the Sox mascot Southpaw. Well, I got changed and all, but I needed to get her out of the stadium for safety reasons. Guess it's time for a chat with the catcher. He did not hear my question as he disappeared back into the dugout. Now I felt trapped in a big stadium all alone. I just sat down for a minute to realize how peculiar this was getting. Most of the lights had been turned out and the cell was empty. Just the grounds crew left and some security, I guess. It was spooky. As I walked up the steps wondering what I'm supposed to do, here comes Southpaw with a note. "Go with Southpaw and they'll take her where you can wait in a safe place for me, Jake." Okay, hanging out with a mascot is different. He looked after me, getting me safe to where I could wait outside the locker room for Jake to finish up. I remembered seeing this area when Carmen took me around. I found a corner to sit in and out of the way and not knowing how long Jake was going to be. Figured it'd be a bit of a wait with him needing to ice down, talk to the pitching staff about how he felt and all of that. Like a debrief, I guess. I lost my track of time how late it was, getting lost in the Chiefs playing, hoping to keep the tension at a difference. Jake's thoughts. After talking to the medical staff how I was feeling, I got my shower and was thinking of a tourist strike. Was I running the chance of knocking her out of the batter's box? What's better to throw a couple of balls and see what her feelings were? I tried throwing a fastball, but maybe a walk here was the best option. When I walked out of the locker room, I saw her sitting there. I knew that tonight needed to change, and I had to make it happen. It was time for me to take a step off the pitcher's rubber and think about how to handle this. No yelling at myself. I don't want to scare her off. Back to Madison. Jake finally came out looking for me. The puzzled look on his face. He was running if I'd stood him up. Loving that smile came across his face. He extended his hand to help me get up as I'd been sitting on my bag waiting for him. Once I got up, he gave me a hug, and boy, he smelled good. I slid my iPod back into my backpack, turning to grab my bag, but Jake beat me to it. He grabbed my hand so I would not get lost in the labyrinth of as we left the stadium. Sorry, guys, I got tongue-tied. Jake pointed, that's me over there. We walked to his truck. I'm going to stop it right there for the moment because Chapter 7 is kind of long. So that's the middle of Chapter 7. I'm going to leave it right there for now. Thank you guys so much for taking the time to listen today. I know this is a little bit longer podcast, but we'll pick it up in a couple of days. I'm going to go grab my cup and have a drink. Thanks for listening. You know the drill. Take care, and I'll see you soon. Thanks for taking the time to listen today. I really appreciate it. You guys know the drill. I'm Cricket. This is Cricket's Coffee. I'm going to go drink her. I'll see you soon.